Evening Lighthouse. Good morning. We want to welcome everyone this morning. If you look around, you'll notice we're a little sparse this morning, but that is because we have kids at church camp. We have some adult workers working at church camp. We have some teen helpers at church camp. So we are excited for what God is going to do in their life this week. We ask that you continue to pray for them. Pray for Andrew and Autumn Dent. They are our youth directors for the state, and this is an exhausting week for them. So please pray for strength. I believe that God moves through our prayers. So if we uphold our brothers and sisters, it will change things. And so I'm just believing that this is going to be a refreshing week for them and that they're not going to be exhausted like they usually are at the end of the week. But I'm excited for what God's doing. Our teenagers are going down to camp on Tuesday, and I was just told I think we have 28 teenagers signed to go to camp. Let's give them a hand. I'm so excited. So excited about what God is doing in our youth. And speaking of the youth, we have a kids' crusade coming up right here in Cary, Ohio. And that is going to be August 26th. They're going to start at the park at 11 a.m. with an outreach event open to the whole community. And then they're coming back here to the church at 5 p.m. We have Pastor Randy Waters from Bakkens, Ohio, coming to minister. It will be a great time. It is geared for ages 12 and under, but all ages are welcome to come and support. And so come and be encouraged as an adult. You can come and feel young at heart again and get involved in that service. We'd love to see you. They are asking for some donations. So they have these little slips of paper. In the back, there's a little bulletin board set up with information. So if you would like to donate something, please grab one of those, and they would appreciate all of your help. Also, we are having a baptism service coming up at the creek. So if you would like to get baptized, please see us. The service will be Sunday, August 20th, right after our morning service here. We will drive out to the creek and have a baptism service there. And I encourage you to spread the word. You know, some people have never been to a creek baptism service. So what better way to outreach than invite someone to come see someone get baptized? Amen? So I encourage you all, invite someone and bring them with you to come to a good old-fashioned baptism. And then I want to remind you also, the first Sunday in August is our bilingual, first ever bilingual service here at the Lighthouse. So Pastor Darius will be interpreting the whole service for us. So we want to invite all of our Hispanic friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, and anyone else, American friends and family and English-speaking friends and family, everybody is welcome. We want to minister to people. And so that bilingual service, we're very excited about. And my last announcement is this Wednesday is family night right here at the church at 7 p.m. I do believe we're starting our next lesson, lesson 3. Is that correct, Brother Jesse? Are we finishing lesson 2? Okay, so there are some studies back there. Does anybody remember where we're at? Because it's just been so good, we just keep going and going. We finished lesson 1, starting lesson 2. So there are some lessons back there. And if you guys want to, in the back welcome center, if you want to make sure it's lesson 2 on the welcome center instead of lesson 3. But we've been going through discipleship. And how many of you know we are called to be disciples? So we are doing practical teaching about what it means to be a disciple. And the reason I'm so confused is we have a 4-part lesson, but it's been taking us more than one Wednesday night per lesson. So we've just been, continuing on until we get through all the information. It's really good material, really good information. So if you're missing Wednesday night, you're really missing it. So come out on Wednesday at 7. The adults are in here for Bible study. The teenagers have a service, which this Wednesday they probably won't because they're at camp. But we will have something for teens, and then the kids have their classes. So on Wednesday nights, there's something for everyone at 7 p.m. And at this time, Brother Jesse is coming with our morning scripture. I just encourage you all, let's get in today and worship God. And you got to worship extra hard because the kids aren't here to do it for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be in church today. Thankful for everything that God has done. Thankful for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Amen. I say it all the time, but if you don't see God doing something good in your life, you're just not looking hard enough because God is doing something good. I have a couple of scriptures I'd like to read this morning. First one is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. And it says this: "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people." So I want to ask this question real quick. What is the only thing that separates us from God? It's sin, right? It's sin. If we're separated from God, it is sin that is separating us. Now, Christ made a way, but I want to bring this out here. If we are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, we need to conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven, right? An ambassador is a representative. So if we're the representation of heaven here on earth, we want to make a clear representation of who Christ is, right? So we need to conduct ourselves as citizens of heaven. And we need to be governed by the Word of God. If we're citizens of heaven, we're under the government of heaven, and we need to be governed by the Word of God, not what is going on in this world, not following the law of sin that leads to death, right? Because we know that's where sin leads us, is to death. We are the light of the world. If we, who are supposed to be the light of the world, walk in the darkness of sin, the world will be even more confused. And I read this last scripture here. 1 John 1:7 says this: "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And then," this is the most important part, "the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." From all sin. So if we're struggling with besetting sins, struggling with sins that are hindering us in our walk with God, struggling with sin that's affecting the people around us, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all that sin. So we don't need to be ashamed. We need to bring those things to the foot of the cross and let God do the perfect work inside of us. Amen? Amen. If you would stand with me before we bring our tithes and offerings, we'll just ask the Lord to bless those. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and I thank you for the power of your word and what you're accomplishing here in this place, Lord. I pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
The new melody, it's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Oh, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout, a praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath. beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood of the church, the redeemed. Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
Never enough.
Then you came along. Me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you.
Thank you. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. This morning, I woke up early this morning and thought about the service today, began to pray for whoever would be here, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I love quiet worshipers. Now, you're in a Pentecostal church, so it's not always quiet in here. Nor should it be. But the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, I love quiet worshipers. And sometime if you're a quiet worshiper, you don't feel like you're doing enough. You know, you're not like so-and-so and she's got her hands raised and she's jumping and yelling and hollering and she's up front and she's moving. But sometimes you just want to stand in His presence. When Elijah was looking for God because he was discouraged, there was a whirlwind, and Elijah said, surely he's in the whirlwind. He's in the fire. He's in the noise. But then all of a sudden, Elijah realized, nope, he's in a very still, small voice. How many of you ever experienced that before? Were you in a dark place and all of a sudden Jesus just shows up and says, I'm here. Sing it with us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
as the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Come down, Spirit. Just praise Him this morning in your own words. I love you, Jesus. 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 I thank you for your prayer. Of this song, and we're not going to sing them because I don't feel like we ought to this morning, but fire and wind, can you put that verse up there for me? Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. In a quiet corner of a house, the Spirit of the Lord, by His fire and wind, even without any noise, can enter your presence and change you to something that Jesus wants you to look like. Amen? Sing it. As the Spirit was moving over the water,
Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Congregation, sing it. As so come down.
Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you
will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you feel the room,
I'm here and I know you are moving. Here and I know you will fill me.
Hallelujah, I love her.
Thank you.
So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. As they play that one more time, if you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, this morning could be your morning. We sing the line, we know you're here. And I know you're here, and I know you're going to fill me. If you want to receive that this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over this place. If you've been desiring the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you don't get it all and you don't understand it all, that's okay. You don't have to. Would you all lift your hands with me this morning, if you would, as a sign of surrender and acknowledging that He's here. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. 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 I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Fill me, 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 Jesus. Oh, give me an endowment from power, Lord, different than I've ever had before. I receive it, Jesus. I know you're going to fill me. I've come expecting this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me.
think about those words that you're singing. Do you truly understand what you are offering up to God when you are saying, melt me, mold me, God, break me, make me into what you want me to be? Not what I think I should be, not what I think my purpose or my calling or my place in your body is. Wherever you need to place me, if I am too proud to go clean bathrooms in the church, God, break me. Shame on me for feeling that way. If I can serve in your kingdom in any minute way, mold me into that, God. Melt me at your feet. Fill me up with your spirit and use me. Let me go forth from this place where my cup is filled and I need to go out and fill somebody else's cup because it's empty. Help me, God. Show me those people who are empty and broken so I can fill them up with my cup that is overflowing. So I need to receive, Holy Spirit, what you have for me, that my cup is overflowing and I can go fill somebody else's cup. Can we go back and sing that just one more time?
Lift your hands right now. This is a sign of surrender, a sign of reaching out, and a sign of praise unto God our Father. Hallelujah. We lift up our hands right now unto you, Father. We glorify the name of Jesus Christ in our midst. We praise you, Lord. We come with humble hearts right now. We give you our lives right now, Father. Hallelujah. We submit our lives unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was thinking about the scripture as we were in worship this morning and how in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but the earth was out form and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God came and hovered over the waters in preparation for the Word to come forth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. We were singing about that. Then we were singing, Spirit of God, fall fresh on me. Right? We're asking the Holy Spirit to come in our midst and come into our lives and prepare us. Melt me, mold me, shape me, right? In what are we saying? We're saying create me to be who you want me to be, God. And we're asking in preparation for that, for the Holy Spirit to come down and be ready to move at the word of the Father. And who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. And the three working in one create in us who God wants us to be. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So we're praying to God in worship this morning. We're praying to God in praise this morning, asking Him to make something in us that He has yet to do. For some people, that may be the first time you ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Others, it may be an area of your life that God needs to move in, to work in. Maybe it's your physical body that God needs to bring health or restore wholeness to. Maybe it's something in your mind, in your heart. Whatever aspect it is, we have been praying to God in our praise this morning. God, prepare us by your Holy Spirit for what you're going to speak into us by your word. And when he speaks that thing, church, this is what we got to grab a hold of. When he speaks it, it's done. It's done. The Spirit moved in place and hovered over the water in preparation for the word. And when God said, let there be light, what does the word say? There was light. There was light. This is how God works. It is by us grabbing a hold of the word of God in faith and believing in that. In spite of our circumstances, in spite of everything we see, we hear the word of God and we believe it and hold fast to it in our faith and know that because God said it, it's done. It's done. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. And we had a great sign because of that. Because where the presence of God had been housed in the temple of God for many years and was not allowed to break forth and go anywhere else, when Jesus said, it is finished, the hand of God ripped this curtain in two and opened the door for the presence of God to be poured out upon this earth. Amen? Hallelujah. At the word of the Lord, at the word of the Lord, it's done. It's done. How many of you know someone or you personally have a need this morning? You're in here, you're in this building, or maybe you're watching online and you know someone that has a need or you personally have a need. I want you to raise your hand right now. And we know that according to God's riches and glory, through Christ Jesus our Lord, every need is met. Right? It's met. Every need. So let's go before him with our needs or the needs of people we know right now in faith, because at the word of the Lord, it's done, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every need. You see every circumstance, God. Now we could spend hours upon hours declaring all of these needs, but your word doesn't tell us that we need to tell you what we need. The word just says to ask and we shall receive. And we have not because we ask not. So, Father, I come before you right now and ask for you to meet every need that is represented by a lifted hand right now. According to your word, let it be so and let it be done. Our faith is in you, God, and our trust is in you. And it's not in how you have to do it. It's just simply in you. We trust in you, Jesus, that you will do it however you need to do it. And we thank you, God, right now. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for meeting every need by the uplifted hand right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give you glory, we give you praise. Come on, give him praise right now. Thank him for what he's doing. We stand in faith and believe it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you wish to be this morning, or you can continue to stand and worship the Lord freely however you feel. We're so thankful for all of you that are with us this morning. I want to reiterate what my wife said, Pastor Alicia, at the beginning of service, is keep our camps in prayer this week. We have our junior camp or kids camp, however you refer to it, going on right now. And then Tuesday night starts our teen camp or senior camp. And, you know, these are just special times that God ministers to our young people. And we are expecting great testimonies every year. Every year we come back with great testimonies of what God's doing in the midst of our young people. And as I say constantly to you, they are the church of today and tomorrow. So they are now, but they're also our future. And so they're vitally important to us. They're more important than you are, because you're just the church of today. But they're the church of today and tomorrow. And so it's important that we see God move. And despite what you hear on the news, there's hope for our country. Because there are young people who have made a decision this week to leave everything, all the activities of their life, everything that they're doing, and consecrate their life and their heart to Jesus Christ, to go and be with him. Now, I know, well, not every kid that's there wants to be there. That's true. But I've also seen a lot of kids that didn't want to be there. But when they left, their life was changed. I have a friend who's preaching the gospel right now. A minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ who went to camp after camp after camp after camp after camp. And many years he waited till the last night. He would go forward and he'd ask Jesus to forgive him of all his sins, make everything right, and he'd go back home and go back to the same life he lived before. And he'd come back again because he was forced to come to camp, and God would work on him, God would move on him. And 1 year, the first night, he made a decision. And he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ today because of that. We never stop. We don't quit. We keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And we will see him through. And so I just want to encourage you, keep them in prayer this week. Don't stop believing, right? I think the Word of God said that before the song did. Don't stop believing. Keep trusting in Jesus and look to him. Amen. So just to give you another testimony before we dismiss our students, I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of this, because we're part of this testimony. How many know that when you pray and you join your faith with someone else, you are part of that testimony? It is a family of God. We all come together and work together. And so this morning, one of my pastors, I call him my apostle, not because he makes me, because matter of fact, I think it makes him uncomfortable when I call him that, but that's what he is to me. How many of you know that there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? Pastor Peter Dosik, many of you have been praying for him, and we saw God get him out of the hospital and restoring him, and guess what? This morning, he's standing in the pulpit preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm probably going to go back and listen to this message because I know it's going to be powerful. Because he's going to talk about how Satan tried to take him out. But God, hallelujah, but God had a different story, amen? And God moved and he kept his faith through it all. There were times where his family would go into the hospital room and his grandson Lincoln, he'd say, "Papa, you want me to play you some more of the miracle videos?" And he was hooked up to a vent, couldn't talk, so he'd just shake his head, yes, like this. And over and over and over, Pastor Dosik would watch videos of the past where he saw people receive miracles. People lay hands on people and they recovered. Sick people were healed. All kinds of miracles. And he would watch them and he would set his faith as he laid in the hospital bed, knowing God's going to bring me out of this. If God has healed them, he can heal me. And he would declare that in his life. And they told us that story. And Lincoln would go in and say, "Papa, what do you want to do?" And he'd point to the tablet. And he'd say, "You want to watch some more healing videos, miracle videos?" He'd shake his head, yes. Because he set his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we must do too. Amen? Amen? What a great testimony. And this morning, when the doctors had given up all hope, I don't know if you realize that or not. The doctor said, "There's nothing else we can do." When the doctors say, "We're going to have to put him in the hands of God," you know they have come to the end of their rope. But God said, "Not yet. Not yet. I'm not finished with you yet, Peter Dosik. You have more for me to do." And God restored him, and this morning he's preaching in the pulpit once again. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. And because we joined our faith and prayed with his church and with him and with his family, we get to share in the rejoicing of that testimony. Amen. God heard your prayers. God heard your prayers. And he answered. My prayer? Yeah, your prayer. Your prayer. In case you haven't noticed, I'm trying to stir your faith this morning. Let's believe in Jesus, amen? Let's take him at his word, amen? Hallelujah. All right, we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes this morning. We do have all of our classes this morning. I know many of our students are gone, but that's okay because we knew that not all of them would be gone, and we want to minister to everyone, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of our visitors. If this is your first time, thank you for joining us and coming to be with us this morning. If it's your second time, your family, so you might as well just know that. And even if you still feel a little awkward every once in a while when you come here, you're family. That's okay. And so you've joined us, and we appreciate that, and we're excited about what God is doing. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to remind myself of the fulfillment of the promises of God. Do you have to do that? I have to remind myself, hey, God is fulfilling his promises. And God told me years ago that we would see this church become a multicultural church. And I was thinking this morning, we have people from several different nations in service with us this morning. We're born in other countries, yet we've come together. And although we may have been born in some other part of this world, we are all now members of the same kingdom of God. And we are one. We are one. Amen. And that excites me. I just was reminded by the Holy Spirit of that this morning. And, you know, if you told someone that when, let's just put it this way. I'm pretty sure that when I declared that several years ago, that God was going to make this church a multicultural church, there were people who laughed at me. They laughed at me. Yeah. Joe, do you realize you're in Cary, Ohio? Yeah, I realize I'm in Cary, Ohio, but I also know my God. And when He says something, He does it. Come on, church, let's stir our faith this morning. When He says something, He does it. It may not be in our timing. It's always in God's timing. But He does it. And I was just thinking this morning how beautiful this is. And I'm excited. 2 weeks. We're only 2 weeks away from our first full bilingual service. And pray with me about this. Because that service is going to be in English and Spanish. But I don't know if you realize this, but we've had people visit that they speak French. So now we need a French interpreter. Yes, He can. Thank you. Where two of us touching any one thing, it shall be done.
That's right.
It's done.
That's right.
It's done. We're getting a French interpreter for these people from Haiti. Amen? Anybody else going to believe with us? You don't have to. Where two of us agree on one thing, it's done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God's doing. Are you excited about what God's doing? We can sit here and focus upon all the bad stuff and talk about all the bad stuff. Talk about how hard our week was and how long it was and blah, 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 blah. Or we can go, hey, guess what God's doing? Guess what God's doing? He's still saving people. He's still delivering people. He's still setting people free. I was at a service last night, and it may not be your type of service because it was geared for students that are under the age of 13, basically 12 and under. But I'm going to tell you something. They started singing the songs of praise unto Jesus, and the altar was packed full of young people lifting their hands and praising God and worshiping Him. And the speaker that was coming in to teach the kids, they didn't know what to do at first because worship just kept going and lingering. And they're like, well, we know we need to teach this lesson, but we also don't want to interrupt what God's doing. And so they just kind of hung out for a little bit. They gave them the mic and they just waited for a little bit. And God moved through that and they began to speak and tell them that Jesus is the only way. There's only one way. I'm telling you, there's hope. There's hope because there are young people who are setting aside their lives for the work of Jesus Christ. Well, you're indoctrinating them. Yeah, you better believe we are. When did that become a bad word? You don't think that the world's trying to indoctrinate them? You better believe they are. We better give them the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's hope. There's hope. Y'all being a little bit subdued on me this morning. That's okay. Trying to follow where God's taken us. So if you have your word with you this morning, how whatever format that is, if it's paperback, leatherback, hardback, as a screen, it doesn't matter. Turn with me. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm going to do everything I can not to elaborate anymore on this verse. I just want to read it to you so we can move forward. Last week I started this. I started this last week and I really feel like I needed to come back to this and give you some more understanding that God gave me. I basically just got the beginning of the verse and I want to go into, and if you have the YouVersion Bible app, this is a cool feature where we've been able to put the scriptures on there, but we have them in both languages, or they are on both languages on the screen. But the YouVersion app, you can make notes and stuff like that. So if you're tech savvy and want to use that, go right ahead. But This morning, I want to dive back into this thought that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind or of self-discipline. And last week, I gave you the context of where this was said. And if you remember, just real quickly, I want to remind you that this was a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing his son in the faith, Timothy. And as he's writing this to Timothy, he's reminding him, first of all, of the unfeigned faith that he saw in his grandmother and his mother. And he says, I also see it in you, Timothy. And so now I'm writing to you to stir up the gift of God that is within you. That as we laid hands on you and prayed for you, we know that that gift came upon your life. And I want you to understand that this passage, although it was written to a young pastor, is not just for pastors. It's for every believer, because all of us have received the gift of God. The very first gift is the gift of salvation. And with that salvation, which is given to us by His grace, we begin to unpack His grace, and all of these things are opened to us in the Word. And I tell people, it's like this: how many of you ever have saw or received a Christmas gift, and when you open that box, there's another box inside of it? And you got to open that box, and there's a box inside of it. The only difference is there's actually substance in each box you open. There's something there of value. Now, when we do it as a prank. There's nothing there but another box. But when God does that, there's something of value that we open up to our life, but then that thing leads to another gift that we get to open up that brings value and substance to our life, that leads to another gift that we open up. It's gifts upon gifts upon gifts. It's blessing, it's increase. And then what we realize is that gift or those gifts are not just for us. They're for us to share. And this is what Paul was putting in remembrance of Timothy to stir that thing up. It's not just for you. It's not just so that you can have this thing and let it settle in you and you keep it and you hide it and you carry it. No. Stir that thing up so it comes out of you and you share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been telling you on Wednesday nights about evangelism and discipleship. And I love it because while we're teaching about discipleship now, we're practicing evangelism when we go uptown to our Target service. We're actually practicing it. We're doing it. And there's people that we're getting in contact with, people that are stopping by. There was a man by the name of Antoine that came to our service this Wednesday that I hadn't seen in years. I played football with him back in the day. And people got to minister to him. There's another guy named Jose who was walking by. And, you know, we got some people scouting the scene out constantly. And they didn't let Jose just pass on by. They caught up with Jose and they ministered to Jose. And so we're practicing evangelism while we're also learning about, okay, now that people receive Christ, we've reached out to them, what do we do next and how we go about that? Discipleship. And this message that I'm giving you this morning goes hand in hand with both, because we cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. And we must understand how the Holy Spirit functions in our life. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy. Don't think for a minute that the Spirit of God that came upon you when you received the gift of God was a spirit of fear. No. And we preached extensively on that last week. I couldn't get off of it. God would not let me leave it. But I'm telling you, do not be afraid. You know that that is a saying in the Bible over and over and over? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. He constantly says that to us. Why? because we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. He even says this, don't fear those who can take your body. Fear the one who can take your body and your soul. And if you're right with the one who can take your body and your soul, then you have nothing to fear. So the Holy Spirit is not a spirit that has caused us to be fearful of things or afraid or timid or cowardice. But it is a spirit that first and foremost has power. So I want you to go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And this may be a familiar passage for you, but I want to break some things down in this so that you understand why and the reasoning behind that the Holy Spirit doesn't have fear. All right? There's no fear. And if fear is trying to come on you, then that's not from God. So I don't even focus on the fear part, because it's not God. And let me just say this to you while you're looking for this. Acts 1:8. If you fear or feel fear, that doesn't mean you've lost. It doesn't mean it's over. Because he also says, be strong and courageous. Now, we cannot be courageous unless there's something that's trying to hold us back. So if fear is trying to hold you back and you're feeling that, that's okay. You didn't lose the battle. That just means it's time to be courageous. And we can be courageous because it's not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of power. And this is what the Bible says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. That's why I was celebrating all the nations that are here this morning. We are witnesses of what Jesus Christ has done. And how do we become those witnesses? That when we receive the Holy Spirit, there's a power that comes upon us. Now, we have to understand what this word power means. Because we don't. We don't. We just think God's got all the power. Yes. And he's given it to us. I've got the power. I've got it. You've got it. Well, Pastor, I don't talk in tongues. You've got the power. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not how it presents itself in you. The Holy Spirit has already given you the power. So however that power is demonstrated, doesn't matter. You just need to know this, that when you receive Christ, what does the Bible say? No man can call upon the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. And when we are receiving Christ, we are born again. That means we are born of the Spirit. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now, I believe in the fullness of the Spirit. Sister Betty was exhorting on that during worship. And evidence of that is speaking in tongues and prophesying. That's what the Bible says. And I believe in all of that. But you are not less of a Christian because you don't talk in tongues. And you don't have less power. Now, I do believe that you begin to understand how to operate in it better when you walk in the fullness of it. But don't let the devil lie to you for 1 second that you're powerless. No. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have the power. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power. That means that we can stand up to things. That means that in the face of fear, we can be courageous. I don't have to back down because I'm afraid. I don't have to back down because I think I'm losing right now. First of all, I can't lose. I have Jesus. So you shall receive power. What does this word power mean? Well, some of you have probably heard this before, but I think I need to reiterate this. The original word here is dunamis. It means strength, power, or ability. But listen to this. There's a deeper definition than just having the ability. It means this. It's inherent power. What does that mean? That means that when you receive Jesus Christ, who is your elder brother, you are joint heirs with Jesus, right? That means that you have received an inheritance with Jesus Christ. And because of the work that he did on the cross, now you have an inheritance through God the Father that you have received the same power. What is the same power? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us. I have inherited resurrection power. God gave me that because of what Jesus did. So it's inherent power. It's power residing in a thing. Now listen to this. By virtue of its nature. That's why it's important you understand that you do not walk according to the natural world anymore. When you are born again, you have received Jesus Christ. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. What used to be is dead, and now what is alive is Christ inside of you. Right? I live by Christ, and I live by the faith of the one who gave himself for me. Right? Galatians 2:20. So when we understand these things, then we understand that by virtue of my nature, not who I used to be, that person is dead, but who I am now, by virtue of that nature, I automatically carry the power. Whew. It's not because of what I've done, because I didn't do anything. It's because of what Jesus did. And it's naturally mine now. Because I'm now supernatural. Remember, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. I now walk in a new nature. I am partaker. Paul said this, I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I get to be a part of that and have it in my life. His divine nature lives in me. It's also this, it's the strength, power, ability, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. So what does that mean? That means this. That I can have this thing sitting in me. And it's there. It's right there. But if I don't ever use it, nothing's ever done with it. Right? For it to be power, force has to be applied, come from something, right? Now, I have strength compared to Steve. I don't know. We could try to go at it, and we would see whose force is stronger. He may push me back. I may push him back. But we don't know until we do it. That power just sits inside of us. So when Paul was telling Timothy, stir up. Stir up. Don't let that thing that God put in you settle and not be put to use. Use it. Use it. Now here's the thing, church. Because this was put in the canon of Scripture, that means it's for us. Even though this letter was written to Timothy, it doesn't mean it was just for Timothy. Because all Scripture is divine and been given by inspiration of God for all. Isn't that what the scripture says? Yes. For everyone. That means then that when God told him that, he also told me that, and he told you that. To stir this thing up. Because you have a power and an ability and a force within you. That when you apply that force, hell has to move. Yeah. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, upon this profession of faith. That's how I like to say it. Jesus said, upon this rock. What was the rock? It was the foundation that Peter had just said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. That is a profession of faith, right? He believed that Jesus was the Christ. So upon that rock, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Yeah. What do gates do? They open and close. The gates of hell try to keep people in and keep people out, right? But when he says it shall not prevail, that means that it can't keep people in and keep people out when the church shows up. Why? Because the church has been given power. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's a power that lives inside of us. That by our nature, our new nature that is divine from God, we now walk in this. And we get to push back the kingdom of darkness. Why? Because wherever there is light, darkness cannot comprehend it. That means the darkness scatters. That means that when there's a gate there that tries to keep it closed and keep me from getting to some place I need to be, in the name of Jesus, the chains are broken and the gate is open.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we have been given a power that has a force that cannot be stopped. Now let me help you understand the why. Why? Why? Why do I have this force that can't be stopped? Because it is backed not just by power. It's backed by authority. And there's a difference between power and authority. Power is the ability to do something. It's the ability. Now, there are some people that I'm bigger than. So I have the ability to enforce my will on them. But I do not have the authority to do that. The authority of the United States of America, and I know some people have forgotten this, so just let me help you all out, okay? The authority of the United States of America says that we have laws that have been put in place. And if you break that law, you have to pay a penalty for breaking that law. And just because you're bigger and meaner and badder than somebody else doesn't give you the right to go and use that power against them, because you don't possess the authority. The United States of America possesses that authority, and that big dog will come and shut you up. Right? That's authority. God said to us through his son Jesus, all authority has been given unto me. Where? Both in heaven and on earth. So the reason that we can use this power to propagate or share the gospel of Jesus Christ is because of the authority that backs it. Who is the authority? Jesus Christ. So not only do we have the ability, but we have the right to use the ability by the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we can't carry that name in vain, church. That's why it's a commandment. We don't bear the name in vain. We think it's just saying words that we're breaking that commandment. No, no, no. If we don't carry the name of Jesus with honor, if we bring disgrace to the name of Jesus, we're breaking that commandment. We take the name of Jesus that has all authority in heaven and in earth, and the power that the Holy Spirit has given us. And we enable that through our life, and we see heaven touch earth. It's what Jesus did. These signs shall follow them that believe. What I have done, you will also do. And even more, because I go to my Father. What does that mean? He knew he had to get back to the Father and sit on the throne so that the Holy Spirit could return and come. And when the Holy Spirit came, you shall what? Receive power. He was getting the power source to us so that we could do the things that he did. He functioned in the same power. So, well, how do you know that? Well, he was baptized in water. And when he came up out of the water, God the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, not a dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Well, why was he in the form of a dove? So they could see it. That's why. So they could see it. Came upon him. What does that mean? It was representation that the Spirit of God was now upon his life. And the same Spirit that he carried upon this earth to do all of his miracles, to go about preaching the gospel to the poor, to seeing blind eyes recover, to mending broken hearts, to setting the captive free, that same power and anointing that rests upon him, he ascended so it could return and come upon us. And we now carry Jesus' anointing and Jesus' power, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. We got to get a hold of this. Now, I understand that there's all kinds of multiple things at play when we go to pray for people, when we go to minister to people, and one of the biggest things is people's free will. I get it. Some people just won't believe. Some people won't receive. I get that. But that doesn't lessen the power that we possess. It doesn't lessen it. And it doesn't mean, well, I just give up because, you know, I prayed for so-and-so and nothing happened. No. I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to lay hands on everybody. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. I'm going to minister to everyone. It is the gospel that brings, by power of this gospel, leads people to salvation. That's what it says. I want to see people rescued from their sin. So I'm going to keep teaching this thing. I'm going to keep preaching this thing. And I'm not going to back down and be fearful of it because it is full of power. It is full of life-changing power. Transformational power. You get it? Can I move on to love now? You got power? I got to know that you're going to use it. You got to use it. Otherwise, why do you have it? You ever met the guy? We used to joke around about this. I'm just going to go here for just a second, okay? Just go with me. I used to wrench on motorcycles, Harley-Davidson motorcycles. And we used to have this guy, these guys that would come in, and we called them, they called them yuppie bikers, okay? They'd come in with these immaculate, beautiful motorcycles. It was 5 years old, and there's 200 miles on them. They're beautiful because they don't ever ride them. They open the garage, stand back, stare at it, look at it. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? Man, that's got 400 horsepower. It's got 450 torque at the rear wheel. I mean, it's got power. That thing will blow your hair off. It's amazing. Really, how do you know? How do you know it's got that power? Well, that's what the book says. Don't that sound familiar? Come on, church. Well, that's what the book says. That's what the book says. Yeah, but have you demonstrated it? Have you hopped on that thing and flicked the wick is what we used to say. Turn that throttle and let it roar. See, this is why I'm not allowed to have a motorcycle. Because if it has the power, we're supposed to use the power. Why am I going to putt around at 30 miles per hour when that thing can go 150? And then I see the lights flashing behind me, and I'm like, oh. And I understand authority, so I pulled over. But God doesn't restrict or put a governor on the power source. He says, no. I've given it to you freely, uninhibited. I'm not stopping this thing. So it's up to you to use it. Don't let it sit in a garage and talk about how pretty it is and say, it's got all this power. I read it in the book. I read it in the book. I mean, it's in the book. It's in the book. I read it, and I know it's there. Have you demonstrated the power? Have you demonstrated it? Have you laid hands on the sick and saw them recover? These signs shall follow them that believe. Have you cast out devils? These signs shall follow them that believe. Have you spoken other tongues? These signs shall follow them that believe. Have you even witnessed to somebody and told them about the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ? Have we done these things, or do we just talk about what's in the book? God help us. Release the force of power that we possess. It's power. Let me read a few more things that this power has, just so you know, because we're going to get into it a little bit later. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power for performing miracles. That's what this word means. Moral power and excellence of soul. That's what this word means. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. You know, we constantly complain about, I didn't mean to keep going on. I keep trying to get to love, but you all won't let me. When we get this power thing, we can move on. But listen to me. We get so mad that people are out there bribing people. And that these, what are they called? These groups are paying money, lobbyists. They're getting votes. They're doing this. They slip people money. They get to do what they want. They bribe people. They get all, and we understand then, what do we understand? That there is power in money. There's an ability that you have with money. My wife hates this. And I like to pick on her about this because I said, well, don't we live in a free capital society, right? We believe in capitalism, right? You know, we believe in that. Well, she gets mad when people pay more money and they get to jump the line at Cedar Point. That's just not fair. It's like, but they paid for it. A free market. You like the free market when it benefits you. You don't like the free market when it doesn't benefit you because you don't want to spend the money, right? There's power in the dollar bill, right? It stands for something, okay? We understand that. But what we don't understand is this, that in the dunamis power of God, we possess the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. And that doesn't mean that God's going to make you a millionaire. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that the ability that these people have because they have money, guess what? You have that same ability because there is a grace upon your life. Do you know what the early church had? When the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit broke out on that day. 3,000 people were saved. You know what the Bible said after that? It said, and they found favor with everyone they came in contact with. That is the power and influence of riches and wealth. It is you constantly find favor. People are just trying to help you out. You don't have a clue why they're trying to help you out. You don't know why they're being so nice to you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Their spirit discerns it. It's called the favor of God, the grace of God. I have a pastor friend that he's had God tell him before he goes to fly somewhere. He bought a coach ticket. That's what he had, a coach ticket. And God told him, he said, you're going to get a free upgrade. You don't have to pay anything for it. People are going to bend over backwards for you, and you're going to get a first class seat on this long flight. He showed up. Here's my ticket. Oh, sir, by the way, I know that you're in coach, but we have an upgrade for you. We're going to put you in first class. Why? Because he has the favor of God. Yeah. Yeah. He showed up and they just bumped him up. Because he's got the favor of God. That's the influence and the power of riches and wealth. It rests upon us. You don't need more money. You just need to use your faith. That was for somebody this morning. Because that just came to me. You don't need any more money. God's got everything you need. And he's already given you the power and the ability to use it. Amen? Well, that was a side sermon for you. Power and resources arising from numbers. You know we're not alone. We're still the biggest, fastest growing movement on the face of the earth. Christians. And we have a power that comes from numbers. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Do you know that the whole heavenly host backs you up? Why in the world would we be fearful of anything? Why? Why would we back down from anything? The Lord of heaven's armies is fighting for us. And it's not that he's on our side. It's that we've gotten on his side. Amen? And since we're on his side, we're fighting with him. There's a power and a force that rests in our life. How are we doing on time? All right. So listen to me here. It is important that we fully understand that the reason that this is not a spirit of timidity or fear or cowardness is because there's a power that's been given to us by this spirit. And it's time that the church live in that and walk in that. Amen? Along with that power, there's also a very important factor called love. And to exude power without love, listen to me, is damaging. It's damaging. Because with great power comes great responsibility. And when you hold this power that comes from heaven above, there has to be the right motives behind the demonstration of that power. If not, it hurts people. So I don't just call down fire from heaven to show off. That's strange fire. It's not what God wants. There's a purpose and a motive behind what God's demonstrating through my life. It is so people can know his love. And so when I operate in the Holy Spirit, that's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power and love. People get to experience not only a powerful force, but the greatest, most powerful force to ever exist, and that is the love of God. Whew. Just take a minute. Lift your hands. If you've ever experienced the love of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The greatest force in all of creation is the love of God. It is the love of God. He said this. In 1 John, go to 1 John with me. 1 John 4. I I want to read verse 8, and then I want to skip to 18 and 19, because I got to, if I start reading more, I will keep expounding and never get to where I feel like God's leading us. It says this, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's what He is. It's why His power comes from it so greatly. It's who He is. It's the essence of who He is. And His holiness is the essence of His love. So verse 18 says this, there is no fear, there's that word again, in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment or has torment, right? And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now listen to verse 19. We love because He first loved us. You understand the connection in the Spirit between power and love, and love and power. They can't do without one another. They go hand in hand. They work together. It's not just about us having the power. It's not just about the Christians rising up and gaining power. That's what the disciples thought, and they missed it. They missed it because they didn't see the love of God being shed abroad from the heart of Jesus, that He was not willing that any should perish, but everyone could come and have everlasting life. It's a, I can't quit love. It's a, I will never give up love. It is the force that keeps the world going. Do you understand that? And the only way to really know true love is to know God. There's people who have filial love. There's people who have love where they love pizza. They love ice cream. I love buttery, salty popcorn. Oh, I love it. But that's not the God kind of love. No. There's the love that's the intimate love between a man and a woman when they come into a union of marriage. And it's a physical love that God created, and it's so beautiful. And that connects us to the God kind of love. What is the God kind of love? It's the word in the Greek agape. The agape love of God. It actually talks about love fests. Like you have this festival of love. What does that mean? It means that I choose to love you. I choose to love you. Amen. Well, you did me wrong. I choose to love you. Yeah. Will you stab me in the back? I choose to love you. Yeah. Well, you rejected me and spit on me and cursed me and lied to me. I choose to love you. Yeah. There is nothing. Nothing. That can separate us from the love of God. We think there is. But there's not. Do you know, Brother Jesse said it, what separates us from God? Sin. But do you know that even sin can't separate us from the love of God? Not even sin can separate you from the love of God. Well, what's the difference? Well, because God is love. Yeah. Here's the thing. Sin separates us from having a relationship with God. But love is still extended from God towards us even while we are in sin. How do we know that? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. That is love. While we were yet sinners, He gave His life for us. He extended love. Sin can't even separate us from the love of God. There is nothing, come hell or high water, nothing can stop God from loving you. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. And the moment you do, you are translated from darkness into light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. This is love. This is love. Not, well, you did something for me, so I'll do something for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. No. You did nothing for God. You did nothing for him, and he loved you anyway. And this is what we possess in his spirit. It's what we possess in his spirit. It's the kind of love that says, I don't care how bad you treat me. I don't care how bad you wrong me. I love you. That's why missionaries can go over to foreign lands and be whipped and beaten and thrown in prison and tried to be starved to death. And when they are let out of the prison, they still go back and preach the gospel to the very same people who beat them and threw them in prison. It's called the love of God. It's not circumstantial. It's not circumstantial. We can't earn it. That's why it's called grace. I can't earn the love of God. How silly of me to think that I can do something to get something that's already been given. It's already been given. It's the love of God. And you and I possess it in the Spirit of God. I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of love. Because perfect love casts out fear. You ever watch the Hallmark Channel? We've been watching this show with my wife called Signed, Sealed, Delivered. It's about these mail people. And it cracks me up because these two people, you know, in the storyline, it's so obvious. They're in love with each other. But they're scared. They can't tell each other it because there's fear there. Because it's not the God kind of love. There's just an attraction there, right? How many of you have ever been there before where you're afraid to tell someone you love them, even though you know you felt that, right? Because there's a fear there because you're not sure if it's reciprocated or not. You're not sure if they love you back, and you don't want to put yourself out there to say, I love you, and then be rejected. But the God kind of love said this, I love you so much, I don't care if you do reject it. Amen. I still love you anyway. You know there's not a person that will end up in hell that God doesn't love? Not one. God loves them. We think that, oh, God is punished. No, no. God is not punitive. People go to hell because they choose to go there. Because they reject God. But God still loves them. God still loves them. For God so loved the whole world. Every age, every person that's ever come into existence, God loves. He is not concerned about what you're going to do with his love. He's going to extend it to you anyway. Because perfect love casts out fear. What does that word perfect mean? It means complete, mature, whole. Doesn't mean that it's without flaw, which it can become that way, but it just means it's mature. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're getting ready at, actually, a week from today, we're going to celebrate 18 years of marriage. 18 years. Hallelujah. Praise God that anybody can put up with me for 18 years. A week from tomorrow. No, today. A week from today. I got the date right. Guess what? In that time of 18 years, our love has continually been perfected. And there's moments where I've had to choose to love her. And there's been lots of moments that she's had to choose to love me. But I can tell you that we've reached the place of completeness and maturity in our love that we can speak very plainly to each other. Now, that doesn't give me the right to treat her like garbage. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I can be honest with her without fear, because our love is a place of maturity that I know that if I say something and I'm being sincere about it and I care about her, she's not going to run off and leave me, because our love is mature and we've been through some stuff together. And she didn't go that time. And she didn't go that time. And she didn't go that. She's proved herself that she loves me. And she's going to stick this out. It's a God kind of love that he gave us in the midst of an attraction love. God developed something even greater. Now, yes, I'm still attracted to her. She's a beautiful, gorgeous woman. You can see that yourself. But it's more than that. It's a kind of love that said, I won't quit on you. I won't give up. I'm not going anywhere. And this might be hard right now, but I'm staying right here. And that is only by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of both of us, that has connected us and says, by this Spirit, that's not of fear. I'm not fearful that someone's going to run out on me and leave me. I'm not fearful that someone's going to ghost me, for you younger people. I'm not fearful of those things, because I know what spirit I come from. And if I have the love of God in me, then I am safe and secure. Amen. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Perfect love, the agape kind of love, it casts it out. I'm not insecure. I'm not insecure. And every thought that tries to lie to me and tell me I'm insecure, I take authority over it and cast it down. Because I'm not insecure, because God has not given me the spirit of fear. He's given me the spirit of love. And in that love, there's power that will change everything. It will change everything. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound, well-disciplined mind or life. How much time do I got? Do I need to come back and revisit this, darling? Yeah, probably. Because I don't want to skip over some stuff, because there's some really good stuff in this. This is the stuff that we miss all the time. Because we like the power and we like the love, but we don't like the discipline. So we will shout on the power and we will hug and embrace on the love. And we'll say, see you later on the discipline. So we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that, because I'm not going to rush through that. But I need you to understand this morning that the Spirit of God that lives inside of you when you become a Christian is not something that backs down from anything. Any circumstance you're going to face in your life, any heartache that you experience from any relationship doesn't break you. Because you have the love of God. Any force that is here on earth, whether it's demonic or person, cannot change the course of your life, because you possess the power of the Holy Spirit. Why then are we so easily moved, church? Why? Why are we so easily moved? We live in a generation that today we could get some other astronomical crazy news. You never know what's going to come out of people's mouths anymore. You just don't know. And the church lets every one of those moments move us. We let it move us. Is it wrong? Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's sin. It's sin. It's wrong. But my Bible tells me that where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. Much more. Where iniquity, that's what it says. What is iniquity? It's even worse than sin. Sin is the general word for all of it. There's the transgression, a trespass, and then there's iniquity. Iniquity is downright dirty, rotten. Iniquity says, I know this is wrong, and I'm going to do it anyway. Where iniquity abounds, the grace of God doth much more. That means that there's not enough iniquity to overtake the grace of God. There's not enough. Why do we let these things move us? I'll tell you why. Because we don't live and walk and keep in step with the Spirit of God in our life. We live a carnal life where we do our life, go about our business thinking in carnal ways. We apply things to our life according to how we think and how we feel. And then we decide what our will be depending on how we think and feel. When the Spirit of God says, no, no, no. This is what I have said. I am your God. And I said, let there be light. And there was light. And while the church is complaining about all the darkness in this world, God is saying, but I said, let there be light. You are the light. Let there be light. You are the... Stop complaining about the darkness. Go be the light. Don't let circumstances of your life move you. Come with me. Sister Stoffel, we're joining our faith with you. You told me this morning, it's not moving you. It's not moving you because you believe in Jesus. And God has given us a spirit of power and of love. And that power heals. That power heals. Come on, let's pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we thank you for your love. And we thank you for the power that you have given us. Power that works miracles. And when the doctors say it's impossible, you say it's possible, God. And we speak life and healing into this body right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any form of doubt, any form of fear, anything that would lie and tell something that's not the truth. We speak the truth, and by your stripes, we were made whole. We command this to come out of her body right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing in her right now, Father. Thank you, God. We thank you for a good report. We thank you for healing. We thank you for wholeness right now. We give you praise right now. We stand in faith with our sister right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand to your feet if you would. I'm telling you, I sent you home last week and I really felt like we didn't need to give an altar call because I wanted you to just mull this over. Think about this all week. And I've been praying that that sermon haunted you all week. Haunted you with the Holy Ghost. That it's stirring in your heart. That you don't walk in fear. You don't walk in doubt. But you have received power. You've received love. You are a sound, disciplined person. Because you have the Holy Spirit. You have received power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so this is what I want you to do. They can either play some music, do whatever they want to do, but quickly, quickly. I believe faith has been stirred in this building. And quickly, if you have a need right now, I want you to come forward and you're going to believe God for it. You're going to believe that God's going to meet that need. Whatever it is, I want you to come forward right now. And we're going to pray together. We're going to believe together. We're going to see God do the impossible because we have power and we have been given His love. Come on. I know there's more that need God to move. And we're going to stand in faith believing that God has done it. We're not holding back anymore. God is the God, the miracle worker God. He's the God of the impossible. He loves you. He cares for you. And He is here right now to minister to your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Les, how's your knee doing? Real good? We prayed Wednesday night for your knee. God healed that knee, didn't He? Hallelujah. He just reminded me of that so we could give that testimony. He had a brace on it Wednesday night. He was limping, and we prayed, and God heard our prayers and answered them. He's going to hear these prayers right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, we receive it right now. Oh, by your love, by your grace, by your power right now, restoration come to this body. Come to this soul right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that power that he felt, Lord. That wasn't just a feel good